for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday afternoon service of September the 1st, 1989. Tape number 3B of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill is the teacher for the afternoon.
In the Spirit. Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's just been in your life. But I'm talking about long-standing and strange forms of physical sickness. And some of them aren't so strange. Arthritis is not a strange form of sickness, but I got it through my family. I also got it through my own dumb involvement in the occult and being unwilling to forgive people and eating the wrong food. Number 4, in signs of a curse, a history of marriage breakups. My parents divorced when I was 13. My sister married when she was 21 and divorced when she was 25. My mother remarried and divorced after a year. My father remarried and divorced after 5 years. Gone through divorce? I never will. I mean, Darlene and I have already settled that right now. She's my sweetheart, and there's never been anybody else that my eyes have flashed so fondly on. But there never will be anybody else. She is my helpmate. She's my covenant partner. She's my wife. She's my best friend. We love each other dearly. And I'll tell you something that you probably have a hard time believing. We've been married 13 years, and we have never had a fight. Psychologists say, well, every married couple's got a fight. Who said so? God didn't say so. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, if you do certain things, you can have heaven on earth. Well, we've got some heaven on earth, don't we, honey? We really do. And I'm not saying that. If you fight, I'm sorry. You don't have to. The only reason there's fighting is because there's pride somewhere. Somebody's got to assert their opinion in their last word. If you make up your mind that you're not going to give yourself the luxury of having the last word, there'll be no more fighting.
That's right.
When you're married.
Exactly.
Takes two to tango. Amen. I mean, we just don't fight. We pass up opportunities. But why fight? Why fight? That's why our home is so blessed. That's why our sons are both spirit-filled little men of God, 9 and 6 years old. And my 9-year-old has seen angels on numerous occasions. The first night he saw an angel, we let ourselves in a little Methodist church up the road, and it was dark in there. I liked it when they're dark. I didn't like looking at all the traditional trappings in there. So we were praying, and he was with me. This is the first time he ever went with me to that church to pray. And I was up there in front of the altar, and I was down on my hands and knees, and I was praying for somebody or praying about something. And since it was dark, little Bruce, at that time he was 5 years of age, he was kind of leaning over me, looking around. He was a little bit nervous being in that big, dark room. And all of a sudden, he started patting me, and he said, Daddy. And I'm praying, and I said, what, Bruce? He said, I just saw an angel. And I said, oh, Bruce, really? Are you kidding me? No. Now, he doesn't lie. Bruce doesn't lie. That's one problem you've never had with Bruce is lying. And he said he was standing right back through that door in that other room. And I said, well, what does he look like, Bruce? Now, here's a 4 or 5-year-old who's never heard a sermon on angels or, you know, seen an accurate picture of angels. He knew they weren't little women or babies with butterfly wings and all of that stuff. But he didn't really know what to say except the truth. And he said, Daddy, he was taller than that door. And he said he was standing there like this and looked like muscles up here. And he said his head was white and his body was yellow. And God let me know by a word of knowledge that what he saw was different. He said he had feathers and real muscular. And he was standing there like this. And God let me know that what he saw in the color was just different manifestations of the glory of God that's on that angel. And since then, he's seen a number of angels. Even saw a demon spirit one time. And God's just given this little 9-year-old boy the gift of discerning the spirit. for a reason. He's saved, spirit-filled, and he's got a heart for the lost. He's got his own personal testimony tract already. He's got his own personal testimony tract that he gives to people. He doesn't feel comfortable in sharing Jesus with them with his voice yet. You know, he's not sure how to handle the arguments and the questions. But he'll give him this tract, his personal testimony tract. And I want to encourage every one of you that if you've never written your personal testimony tract, you need to write one. Because somebody will read your tract, your personal tract, much quicker than they'll read some dumb tract that says, "Are you ready for the rapture?" That's impersonal. Most people don't even know what you're talking about. But you can say, "Here's my story. Would you read it sometime?" You can hand it to the clerk over the counter. You can hand it to the gas station attendant. You don't have time to talk to them with your mouth about Jesus, but you can give them your tract. And because they just met you, they're curious about you, and they'll read it. And you can lead them to Jesus, or at least plant a seed. That's an effective way to witness to anybody and everybody you come to. All right, so anyway, we're going back to this marriage after marriage breaking down. That's a sign of a curse. Maybe it's been in your family, maybe it's been in your life. That's a sign of a curse, and I guarantee there's evil spirits there. And I want to tell you one of the biggest reasons for divorce and unfaithfulness in marriage is the woman usually has been involved in the occult horoscopes. We found that out. Hal and Helen taught us that too. All of the many hundreds of couples that they ministered deliverance to, usually one of the causes for infidelity in their life was the fact that the woman was an avid reader of horoscopes. They'll screw up your life. They will. All right, and number five, persistent financial insufficiency. Seems like you can never get ahead. You know, you might have an adequate income, but there never seems to be enough money. That's the sign of a curse. That's number five, is persistent financial insufficiency. You know, I've seen people that make twice, three times, four times the income I make as a minister of the gospel, and they're always struggling. Darlene and I, we pastor just a little teeny church in the mountains of Virginia. That's the only income we get. And yet we've got all of our needs met. We're so blessed. We've got a home, a 93-acre farm. Where did it come from? It came from God pointed out on us because we gave him our hearts and our lives and our marriage years ago. If you'll do what God wants you to do as far as dispensing the gospel, God will make you rich. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about huge, fat, overflowing bank accounts to where you spend it on yourself, but all your needs will be met, and God will bless you with things beyond that, too. Amen. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy, the Bible says. He's a God of abundance. He's not a God of meager existence. He wants you to experience some of what he's got in heaven. You can't do that because you're always strapped financially. I tell you, it's probably a curse. Now, how did it gain access into your life? We're coming down to the wire now. How did it gain access into your life? Number one, through the occult of your forefathers, possibly. Exodus 20, verse 5, just very quickly, Exodus 20, verse 5. Listen to this. God says, "And thou shalt not bow down thyself to false gods, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So when you bow down to other gods, or your ancestors bowed down to other gods, that was a form of hatred toward God. Because Jesus said in John 14 that he who loves me keeps my commandments. And if you don't love me, you don't keep my commandments. And when you bow down to other gods, you're telling God, "I hate you." What you're doing is I just disrespect you. Doesn't matter what you say, God, I'm going to do my own thing. And God says that he visits the iniquity of the parents unto the children of the third and fourth generation. You can also mark down Deuteronomy 5, verses 6. You see that again. And you can mark down, well, if you need any other scripture, I'll give it. There's plenty of scripture that supports that. What I'm saying, curses and demonic activity can be passed from one generation to the next. And it's often because some dangling father failed to serve the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he should have been served, got off into some area of the occult or a cult religion or a false way, and rather than honor God with their lives, they jeopardized themselves and their ancestral line. And have no respect for generations. I mean, they'll just, if they can get into the family line, they'll go from one generation to the next. With sickness, disease, financial insufficiency, accident proneness, mental problems, they'll just do it. They're looking for a way in. They all call the forefathers. It also could be something larger than a part of. Darlene and I had a Sioux Indian in our home one time. He came in our home for deliverance, to him, and all of a sudden, this spirit, we started hitting the spirits, and we got about five or six evil spirits out of him. This guy wanted Jesus. He wanted Jesus. As a matter of fact, he professed Jesus already. But there was one stubborn one. Oh, he was stubborn. Turned out this spirit was Thunderbird. But this stubborn spirit did not name himself, and he began to mock. And he took this Indian into a trance, and this Indian began to do an Indian rain dance or something around our living room. It was the funniest looking thing. He was hurrying, and we totally couldn't do anything with him. And so we were young at deliverance then, so I ran in to the kitchen and I got on the phone and I called Helen Wallace. And I said, Helen, this is what we got here. I need some counsel. She said, oh, well, what do you have, Chip? You wouldn't believe it. She said, try me. I've seen about everything. And I told her, and she said, well, just leave him alone. Let him come out of it. And then you've got to tell him that he has got to make a conscious effort to reject it. And not he's given into it. That's what he was doing. He was allowing it to do that. See, a lot of the manifestations that you see with people that get delivered, particularly if they're Christian, it's because they're giving over to it. Yeah. They're allowing it. Sometimes it happens because they haven't renounced the alcohol and forgiven people, and so the devil still has a legal right to work on them. So we let this Indian come out of the and I stood over in the other room and kind of peeked around the corner to make sure he didn't come to where he'd been fooling us. I watched him. It was genuine. He came to and he didn't know where he was for a minute. And then he got up and he came in another room and I met him and I told him, you have got to reject this. This is what happened. We couldn't get it out of you. You have got to reject it. And he said, okay, I'm ready. See, he didn't want to. He thought I was asking him to reject his Indian heritage. I'm not. Nothing wrong with being an Indian. I was telling him to reject his Indian gods and the curse that had come on him through their false god worship. And so we took him back in the other room and sat him down. And all of a sudden, that spirit came up in him again and began to take him into this trance. And he started, and I said, Tom. That was his name. I said, Tom. And I grabbed his shoulders and I shook it. My dad was with me and Darlene was with me and Tom's sister-in-law was there. She'd brought him over. And I shook him and I said, reject that. Don't let him take you under his power. Reject him. And man, you should have seen the fight going on inside. But finally he said, I will melt you. And I said, all right, what's your name? And he said, Thunderbird. And I said, come out in Jesus' name. And he came right out. But see, people got to cooperate. They got to cooperate. Don't keep your demons. That's right. They're just pulling your life down as it is. Get rid of the dirty things. Amen. All right. Another way. Personal involvement in the occult. This is the way they get access. Your personal involvement in the occult. Ouija board. You ever played with a Ouija board? You ever read a horoscope? I didn't mean anything by it. It doesn't matter if you meant anything by it. Satan got a claw into you. Fortune cookies. Oh, yeah, I went to the Chinese restaurant and I read a fortune cookie. You mean to tell me that that's dangerous? Look, it doesn't matter to the devil if it's small or big. If it's the occult, it's the occult. Right. It's a way that you're seeking supernatural help or information that is not God's way. Well, I didn't mean anything by it. It's adultery. That'd be like me going down the road and sleeping with a neighbor's wife and then coming back and Darlene finding out about it. And her saying, well, why did you do that? Well, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, that's the way we do God. Well, God, I didn't mean by it. I went to the crystal ball gazer, but I just wanted to see if there was anything to it. I didn't mean anything by it. That doesn't matter to God if you meant anything by it or not. If you did it, you were in sin and you opened your life. Forms, you all probably have a list of somewhere, one of those books, you have probably an exhaustive list. I know I do in Kingdom Commandos, of things that people get into that are under the category of the occult that has brought curse into their life. And groups, fraternities, that's one of the most abominable things that has enslaved and emasculated Christian men in this country. And you know something? There are few Christians that have the audacity and the guts to stand up to cry it as the sin as it is. An Eastern Star. I mean, all different things. These false religions, they'll get curses into your life. You've got to recognize, have you done anything in the area of the occult? If you have, then you open the door to a devil. Okay? Another way they gained influence was sometimes through your prenatal influence. Prenatal influence. Things your mother and father perhaps did when you were in the womb. Rejection. Children come into life feeling rejected because their mom and dad didn't want them. And there's a neat scripture over in the book of Deuteronomy that talks about Moabites and Ammonites not entering into the congregation of the Lord to the 10th generation. And you know who Moab and Ammon were? They were the illegitimate, incestuous offspring of Lot and his daughters. If you're here and you were illegitimate through incest, you can be set free from that curse that's come on you, because praise God, the grace of God is extended even to you now in the name of Jesus. But there's a curse that needs to be broken. You know, liquor drinking women when they're pregnant, drug using women when they're pregnant, husbands who are not the priests and prophets of their homes while their wives are pregnant, those poor children are the ones that suffer. And it's not that God is saying, I'm going to punish the child. He's not like that. What it is you, when you say, God, I'm going to go this way, you reject him and he just backs off. And when he backs off, evil comes in. And it'll stay in your family line until you have the audacity and the guts to stand up and turn it around and follow Jesus and say, Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Another way they gain entrance is through early childhood, when no godly parents are around to protect you spiritually. Another way is through a moment or a place of weakness, a trauma. Perhaps it's been a blow to the head. There are different things that can happen that will open you up to evil spirits. That's why it's good whenever you have to have an operation and you go under. Always good. I appreciated you saying we're going to pray first. Loose the angels of God. Ask God to dispatch an angel to watch over you. Okay, another way is through a sinful act or practice. Sinful acts or practices. How many of them are there? They can open you up to a curse. Disharmony between parents opens children up to demons. Not tithing opens you up. Over in Deuteronomy 27, we're coming to a close. I see a couple people have gotten up and left. Please hang in here, folks, especially if you feel like the finger of God has uncovered some things in your life. Deuteronomy 27 is a whole list of reasons for curses. Occult, the occult, and idolatry, we've covered that. Dishonor of parents, children who dishonor their parents, open themselves up to a curse. The scriptures, I could back each one of these things up with many scriptures. Mistreating your neighbor, Deuteronomy. Wrong attitudes toward the helpless, incest, bestiality, murder. I mean, the list can go on and on, but we've hit the main ones. Now, how do you get free? That's what we're interested in. Is there anybody here that would say, yes, I recognize there's a curse operating in my life? Is there anybody here? Listen, it's nothing to be ashamed of, because that's one of the first steps to being free. You've got to be humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The proud get nowhere with God, and you're not going to get anywhere with God until you humble yourself. Don't be ashamed of what people see you when you raise your hand. God resists the proud. That's a military term in the Greek that means that God personally sets himself in array against you if you're proud. You can't if you're too proud to say, I need help. So be humble. Number two, be honest. If you've done some of these things, if you've sinned, call it exactly what it is. Don't try to cover it up or make it appear pretty decent. Just say, call a spade is what I'm saying. If you've been guilty of some of these things, the occult, some of these areas of sin, unforgiveness, call it what it is. Number three, confess it. You're going to need to confess it to God as the sin that it is. You're going to have to abhor it and detest it. You're going to have to get some of the accursed things out of your house. There was a time I had to burn my rock albums. And I didn't want to because I had a lot of money tied up in them. And I even thought that I could sell them and get the money and use it for the gospel. What a lie of the devil. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 25 and 26. Deuteronomy 7, verses 25 and 26. Listen to this. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them. See, that's what I was doing with those rock albums. You know, but Lord, if I sell them, you know, yeah, if I sold them, I'd pass those demons on to somebody else. I admired James Robinson a few years back when some guy gave him $1 million worth of statues and idols for the ministry to sell, but he took them and smashed them. And the whole world out there got mad at him, and a lot of them were religious folks. And it says, don't desire the gold on them, lest you be snared in them, for it is an abomination to the Lord God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be cursed like it. But you shall utterly detest, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. That's our attitude towards the occult and occult emblems and paraphernalia and things. If you've got bracelets or rings or beads that have anything to do with the occult, get rid of them. If you've got statues in your house that have anything to do with false gods, get rid of them. Demons inhabit such things and bring a curse into your life. The list can be great, but we don't have time to go into it all. Just be honest. Listen to the Lord right now. If he's saying you've got this, if he's bringing something to your mind right now, don't question it. The Holy Ghost telling you, you need to get rid of it. Don't question it. All right? You need to repent. And that means turn around and start going the other way. It doesn't mean just be sorry and keep doing the same thing. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. Not only am I sorry, I stand forward and I will serve only you and those things that your word says to do. I will do what your word says. Number five, break with the occult. Many times this means a break from many things. Many things, and sometimes a break. You need to break from certain associations and certain objects and certain practices. Break with the occult. Get rid of everything that has to do with the occult. Get it out of your life and never look at it again. And then that can be alcohol and drugs. The Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia. It's the same word we get drugs from, pharmacy. And the kids, the drugs that some of the kids are smoking, every time they smoke a joint or pop a pill, I want to tell you something, they're experimenting with a type of sorcery, and it will enslave and ensnare and ruin their lives. Get rid of the rock albums, get rid of all the books that promote another way other than Jesus only. There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and he's the only way into the pleasure of God, into the house of God, Jesus Christ. Number six in how to be free is you must forgive all other people, no matter what they've done to you. You must forgive them. Because the attitude of unforgiveness binds you to the person you can't forgive. And it also brings torment into your life. Jesus said that at the end of Matthew 18. And remember this, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision of the will. I choose to forgive that person no matter what they've done to me. From this day forward, I forgive them. Derek Prince explained it years ago like this, and it was great. He said, it's tearing up the IOU. When you forgive, you tear up the IOU. You've got in your hip pocket a paper that says, I owe you for this or that, or more care, or more respect, or more love, or more money, or more... And then you've got signed on that the bottom of that IOU a bunch of names of people. What you need to do is take that IOU out and tear it up and destroy it. They no longer owe you anything. As a matter of fact, you owe them the love of God. Paul said, I owe no man anything but to love him.
Yes.
And true love is the ability to forgive unconditionally.
Yes.
No matter what they do to make amends with you, they might still hate you and reject you, but even as Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. No matter what they've said or done to you, or are saying or doing to you now, you forgive them because Jesus commands us to forgive and love.
Yes.
Amen? All right, if you're ready to be free, you ready to be free?
Yes.
Praise God. You want to break a curse this morning or this afternoon? I would like everybody to stand up. Even if you've done this before, I'd like everybody to stand up and repeat after me a prayer. And I'm going to believe God to loose his spirit in a mighty way and angels. Father, right now, I'm asking you to send angels up and down the rows, down the aisles, on both sides of the congregation, in the middle. Angels of God, Lord, to be the mighty warriors they are as we see deliverance take place, as we see curses broken. And Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name by your Spirit, Lord, to just bring a mighty deliverance. You said, whosoever shall call on your name will be delivered. And we're calling on the name of Jesus. We're calling on Jesus' name, Father. We believe in, Lord, that as people repent, as people renounce involvement with the occult and forgive people, we believe that your Spirit is going to set them free. And we're going to drive out every vestige of curse and demonic activity in their lives in Jesus' name. It's to you, and I'm asking you even now to go to work. Now, if you're here and the finger of God this morning groped around in your life and revealed to you some areas where you have been gotten into trouble and allowed demons in, if you've got some of these signs of a curse operating in your life, then I want you to be honest with God right now. I want you right now to bow your head where you are, and I want you to say, Lord, I did that. I was involved in that cult. I was involved in that form of the occult. I did that sin. And I ask you to forgive me, and I repent of it, and I will not do it again. You can say, if you've done the Ouija board, the horoscope, or any other form of the occult, say simply, in the name of Jesus, I renounce, and then name it quietly under your breath to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I renounce. I renounce. Tell the Lord that you renounce all of that was wrong. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know God's speaking to some of you. You be obedient to the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, I renounce. I renounce. I renounce the Jehovah's Witness. I renounce Mormonism. I renounce the Ouija board. I renounce the seance, the fortune teller, the fortune cookie. I renounce. I renounce ESP. I renounce astrology. I renounce witchcraft, four-leaf clovers, lucky charms. I renounce. I renounce. I renounce Edgar Cayce, Ruth Montgomery. I renounce. You renounce everything that the Lord brings to your mind or I bring to your mind. You renounce it if you've done it in the name of Jesus. Tell the Lord you mean business. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. Praise God. Are you ready? Now, I want you to say, Lord God, I forgive from my heart as an act of my will, and you name the people you need to forgive. You tell the Lord who you need to forgive, and that this day forward, you're tearing up the IOU, and they are forgiven forever in Jesus' name. Whoever it is that wronged you, said that thing about you, that hurts you, you forgive them. Be obedient right now. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Right now, the Lord is telling you. He's bringing names to your mind. Right now, the Spirit of God is bringing to your remembrance people that you've harbored bitterness in your heart towards. Don't question Him. Don't say, well, they didn't do that much. I'm not. Don't question Him. If He's bringing their name to your mind, He knows more than you know. You need to forgive them. In the name of Jesus, forgive every one of them. Your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father, your neighbor, your teacher, your boss, your co-worker. You forgive them. Forgive Castro. You know, forgive them. Forgive the Chinese. Forgive the blacks. Forgive the Indians. Forgive the Koreans. Forgive the Japanese. A lot of people need to forgive the Japs, and they need to forgive the Germans for World War II. Forgive the Russians. Forgive everyone that has wronged you. Say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. Amen. And what we're doing is we're breaking the legal ties that Satan has used to bind you up before we give the renunciation of the curse itself and command those spirits that have been vexing you and harassing you to leave you. All right, say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
I renounce
the occult of my forefathers. In any area where they've been involved in the occult. Or in a cult. I renounce my involvement in that. I break the curse that maybe has come upon me. And I release myself from it in Jesus' name. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. All right, if you're ready, repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got one thing to do. I'm daring to do this, brother, but I just feel prompted to do this. Sometimes when you're commanding an evil spirit to leave you, and this is what you're going to be doing, not only me, it's good you realize the Greek word for spirit is also the Greek word for breath, and it's the Greek word pneuma. Sometimes it's a good thing to just expel them by breathing out. Just, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave me. Every spirit in the name of Jesus that has come upon me through the curses and my involvement and things, I command you to leave me. Just exhale. Just exhale. Now, we're not telling you to cough out demons or anything like that, but we're saying get your body in the active, in the action of expelling things. You're letting the devil know, not only with your mind and your spirit, but with your body, you don't want them. Reject them in the name of Jesus. Just like you would expel cigarette smoke if you didn't want it in your lungs, say, in the name of Jesus, get out of me in Jesus' name. Praise God. And do it again. And you may get a reaction and you may not. You may and you may not. You might stand there and every one of them will leave you. And you'll stand there like an oak tree. And they'll everyone leave you. But then again, one might manifest. If it does, don't be afraid. He'll go out. He's going. There's angels of God right now standing up and down the aisle. They're ready to assist. Praise God. They're ready to wipe out the devil. Amen? All right, now repeat after me. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. That you died on the cross for me. And that you rose again from the dead. I love you, Jesus. And on the basis of what you've done for me, I believe that Satan's claims against me, they are canceled. And so now, Lord Jesus, I submit myself to you. I will serve and obey you. And now I take my stand against every dark, evil force that has come into my life in any way. Whether it be through my own acts, the acts of my family, the acts of my ancestors, or of something larger I'm a part of. Wherever there's any darkness, wherever there's any evil spirit, wherever there's any evil force, Lord, I renounce it now. I refuse any longer to submit to it. And in the almighty name of Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, I take authority over all these evil forces. I loose myself from them. I release myself entirely from their power. And I drive them from me now. In the name of Jesus. Now say, in the name of Jesus, you say, if you leave me, get rid of them. Get rid of them. In the name of Jesus, say, leave me now. Every spirit, if you know his name, command him to come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Come out and stand in slumber, a spirit that makes you sleep when you should be awake. Say, come out of me in the name of Jesus. Say, come out, spirit of infirmity, in the name of Jesus. Whatever the Lord shows you, whatever the demon says, get rid of him in Jesus' name. Get rid of him. Cast that thing out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of 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 Jesus. Don't let up. You stay with it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. The spirit of idolatry, you leave me in Jesus' name. The spirit of whoredom. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord God, by your spirit, I ask you to just move among us now, Lord, and make our deliverance effectual and sure and firm in Jesus' name, as only you can do, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. As a matter of fact, repeat that after me. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do that. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I invite and I invoke
the Holy Spirit
to now move right in and make my deliverance and my liberation fully effectual, as only he can do, in Jesus' name. Now raise your hands to heaven and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to fill me to overflowing with your spirit. Now open your mouth and pray in tongues. If you've never done it before, pray in tongues in the name of Jesus.
You countenance in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, you come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ.
I've just got You are the temple of God. You Talking about making me feel I got something that the world can't.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.